It's Dear Instructional Designer, episode 45. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. I'm your host, Kristen Anthony. This season, we're digging into real projects and breaking them apart to see what makes them work. This episode, we're back with Simon Dade, talking with him about his position as a web developer in an online course design and development team at King's College London. Simon, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Last episode, Simon talked to us about the hows and whys of his team designing and publishing MOOCs and what that looks like for them. He told us about how they've got MOOCs on one end and then these large initiatives to put entire graduate degree programs online on the other end, and the importance of being able to port all of the really essential things that need to go into that. And today, we're diving deeper into the tool set he and his team use to work efficiently and effectively together, specifically ADAPT. Simon, you gave us a lovely sneak peek about this last episode, and I've talked about ADAPT before on the show, but from your perspective, could you start off by telling us a bit about what ADAPT is and why your team chose to use it as a tool?
Sure. So ADAPT is the core of it is a open source framework, which is built either directly with the framework or using the authoring tool, which is like a easy to use user interface that puts the course together for you, like you would use in a regular authoring tool. The reasons why we chose it as our like main authoring tool that our team uses are probably four reasons. Firstly, the content that is created in it is fully responsive HTML5 web-based content that, you know, you can use on any device without having to install any like extra software. So, you know, it's 2017. We need to be using the most modern tools that our learners expect from their regular, that they use outside of learning, that we should be creating e-learning in the same technologies that the learners use in regular stuff and the same, you know, web-based design patterns that they used
to.
So from our like data we've gathered, we know about 15% of our students access the data through their mobile and their tablets. And this has like gone up ever since we've told them that they can actually do this. I assume most of them, they probably had done e-learning prior, and you know, it's very, maybe not, they don't work on certain devices or it's a pretty bad experience that they don't really test for, but it's something that we're pushing really hard to make sure that our content looks great on any device that you're using.
Awesome. And so here's a question I have. I watched this really great talk, and I've talked about it several times on the show, about this sort of device ecosystem and how sometimes the right choice is sort of designing a different experience for each device. From your position, I'm wondering, what do you guys sort of think about that? Are you just like, let's make everything, you know, just sort of responsive first? Or are you guys thinking about, well, maybe it would be better to sort of have this experience here and this experience there?
I guess there's some authoring tools like Lectura and I think Storyline, they have the new Storyline, they have like their different viewpoints. That's like with Lectura, you have five different screens and you need to like edit yourself to make five, you know, it's like mobile, portrait, mobile, landscape, tablet, portrait, portrait, landscape, and desktop.
Right,
and it's not really a good experience for the course creator that they have to like constantly jump. Anytime they make a change, they have to jump between all these different views to make sure that it looks good. Whereas with ADAPT, it's just, you know, you have the block layer and you can have either a left or right, you know, a half width component. But if they scroll down to mobile, then that component becomes a full width component. And it's a very like logical and very scalable solution that means that the course creator doesn't need to be spending, you know, half the time that they're creating, making sure that they're jumping between views. It's just going to look good.
Yeah.
But I mean, building on that, when we're building new extensions, so one of the extensions we're building has this kind of slide out view. And we were inspired by our MOOC platform, FutureLearn. They have this commenting system where at any time you could press this button and from the right-hand side, your like comments section slides in. And then they can comment in context of anything they're like talking about. And yeah, so it slides in on desktop, and then on mobile, it kind of like scrolls down and it's like a different experience. So we're kind of inspired by these different, you know, respecting the device. I get, if you think about like apps like Twitter or Facebook, like if you click a link on your mobile, you're often shown like a kind of like pop-up that overlays over the app, and then you have the X on the top right to return back to the app. Mm-hmm. You don't jump out into a new browser. But on desktop, you would jump. It's not like a browser doesn't work like that. It just puts you into the new tab because it's respecting the kind of standard experiences that you expect from each of these devices. So yeah, I think there is some merit to it, but at the same time, you don't want to push it too far. And if any way you can simplify and automate the process, then in a way that makes it still a great experience, then I think that's a good thing.
That's an excellent, excellent point and a really good example. Thank you for sharing that. That was great.
No problem.
All right. So on to your second reason. Like, what's the second reason you guys are using Adapt?
Sure. So we like the fact that it's a server-based tool. It's not hosted on someone's computer, like, you know, Storyline, where you have that really slow install and you have to use Windows and you have to like juggle licenses between your team. It's just something that we have anytime on any device. You know, people can work from home and it's no issue. They can just, you know, log in and it's all there. No need to like, if people are working, multiple people are working on the project, it's not like you need to zip up the file and make sure that they're all working on the right version.
Oh yeah. That is a pain, boy.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. There's like all these big headaches that these desktop based tools have had for, you know, decades. And we finally kind of found a solution where it works well. And it means that people with different roles can do their different tasks on the server, like independently. And it's not like they need to channel through one person. Like they can log into the offering tool. If someone's like a graphic artist, they could upload all their images and have it available for a instructional designer or a content developer to put into the course. And if someone's a theme developer or a plugin developer, they can create their plugins and upload them, and then it's instantly available for everyone to use. You don't have to kind of go through this whole process of copy and pasting files and all these other processes that are just not very time efficient.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I really don't think, as instructional designers, we sort of think about that within the realm of efficiency or tools, but like that sounds freaking awesome. Yeah. I feel like I would have killed for that in some of my work.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's really useful.
Yeah.
I guess the third point is because it's open source, it's free for us to use. We have about 30 accounts that we have on our tenancy, on our account. And you know how much these software licenses cost. I think Articulate 360 is like $500 for the first year. And then
it's something like
$1,000. Yeah. So it would literally be like $30,000 a year if we were paying for every single person to have a license.
That's a great, great point. Yeah.
That's such a cost. That's like the cost of someone to hire someone. I mean, yeah. And I mean, you could argue that we could probably count lower the amount of accounts we have, but that's again is a kind of compromised experience where we have to like channel through certain people, mm-hmm. or we have to deal with these like, oh, can you log out for half an hour so I can do something quickly? And you know, you can't do anything for half an hour because a colleague needs to work on something. It's just a bit of a nightmare. I mean, on top of that, you don't have to, if you're not interested in hosting yourself, lots of companies offer either hosting or advanced services on top of it, like Learning Pool. They have a really good theme builder that you don't need to worry about being a CSS guru to be able to use Adapt, because it's an open source code base. Like anyone can add value wherever they can see fit. And it's a very kind of transparent and meritocracy where people are building towards something they see good and
right. And the best ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you also talked about, you know, that you could build plugins for Adapt. And that's another thing I really like about it is that it's really extensible. Like, do you think that that sort of flows from its open sourceness?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the structure of it is just so easy to extend. And it's like, you think about most authoring tools, things like Storyline and Captivate, they have templates, but it's quite slow to use. And there's a lot of kind of ideas that are from PowerPoint, which work well for PowerPoint, but you know, when you scale up to an e-learning based offering tool, there's a lot, especially in 2017, you want to have like social features, you want to have like tracking, you want to have all these other really cool features like gamification, and it just doesn't really scale that well, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So the way Adapt's created, it's just very easy to, you have like an idea of like, oh, it'd be cool if we could enable people to, you know, learners to have a social experience whilst they're learning. And you can start building this plugin, and it's just like a great experience, I think.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's very easy to roll out. Once you do it, it's not like you have to worry about authorization from the vendor or whatever. It's just something that, because you're the people that control it, it's a lot easier to just do it.
Awesome.
I think the idea of an open source tool as well, and the fact you own all the data that you have, is really important.
Yeah.
I was talking to a few of my colleagues, and they'd used other server-based tools in the past. Not authoring tools, I think it was some other software, but the vendors had gone out of business and they'd literally just shut down their servers and said, your data's gone forever. And with e-learning, there's like, I don't know how many server-based offering tools there are now, but let's say there's like 15, 20. There's no way that they're all going to be around in 10 years' time. Like companies in this kind of sector, they just naturally, because of the way competition works, not everyone could be a winner, and some of them are going to lose out. And if you're a client of one of these companies who are using a server-based tool and they go out of business, then there's no way that you know your data is going to be safe. And even if you can like download it onto your computer, you can't make modifications in the future. So you're kind of being like locked into this, you know, very bad relationship with this vendor who can do whatever they want. And, you know, they could hike up the price, they could stop innovating, and you've got nothing that you can really do about it because you're already committed to being their partner.
That is such a good point. Yeah. I agree with you. And I have a blog post where I talked about where I actually had to sort of hack this SCORM product that the client had gotten from this third party vendor and this other authoring tool, but now they didn't have access to the authoring tool anymore. And it wasn't open source. So I just kind of had to go in there and sort of just hack around with it to try and make a change. But my question is, what would you say to people who are, you know, sort of on the other side and saying, well, yes, but now you guys have to deal with the server and you have to deal with the hosting and you have to deal with the support.
I mean, I think this is something that Adapt still needs to kind of move into in the next couple of years. If you look at stuff like Moodle and Totara, these are the same idea. They're like an open source technology, but not many people actually go through the hassle of installing it and theming it themselves. There's like this very good structure of a partner relationship. You approach a partner who has, you know, either financially or by submitting code, they've kind of warranted the official accreditation from the technology like Moodle or like Totara. And once you do that, then they can start selling services around this product and adding value to people that might not be able to use the tool unless they had assistance. So I think that's the kind of business model that Adapt should be moving towards. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I mean, if you have like a couple of days and you're willing to learn, or you're quite a technically gifted person, I guess it's quite easy to pick up. But obviously that's just, I think that's just one of the trade-offs. that in my experience, for our team, because we have the scale and we have the expertise, is a pretty negligible trade-off compared to the benefits we get from points I've just mentioned.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Yeah. All right. And so we've talked about the fact that Adapt will give us native responsive content. We've talked about the fact that we can use it as a server-based tool, which again, I just think is so cool. We talked about the fact that it's free and open source and sort of what that means and what the trade-offs are. So what's point number four?
I guess it's because it's template driven. And I guess it's to do with all the ideas that I've free, the plugin architecture and the kind of ABC structure as well. It's very standardized experience. Mm-hmm. So a storyline course can be created in any way and it can have really complex branching. And while that's like, it's some cool stuff you can do. One, it's going to leave the learner in a bit of confusion sometimes about what the objectives are and what they're trying to do. And both the course creator and anyone else who's using the tool, they're going to be a bit confused when they're creating it as well. So Adapt, some of these things I've been saying are obviously some drawbacks as well. But mm-hmm. I think because Adapt's a very like standard-based template, it's very good for very easy to understand and very straightforward courses. And those are the kind of courses we're creating. Like I said in my last episode, it's like a very fast-driven, based around, we're trying to be quite great things. And I think this approach is really good for that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, likewise, if you do want to build more kind of high values into Adapt, you can create some really cool extension that could, create branching or create gamification. You can create like amazing art direction or amazing graphics or amazing video. So there's other ways to create content, but the bare structure of it is very simple. And I think that's a really good strength of the platform.
Yeah. Are your SMEs that are sort of working in it, or your content developers, are they liking that template structure? It's like I go in and I know what goes where.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Like the user interface of the authoring tool itself, not even the course you're going to be doing, is very standard. And it's just they know exactly what they're looking at every time. Whereas if you had a new person inherit a storyline course, they might not have a clue what the branching is or not understand all the layers. There's all these other problems that I don't think are really add anything to the experience. That with the component-based layout and of Adapt, everything's quite self-sufficient. Like it's quite contained within itself. So you don't need to worry about anything else. And you can always see, because of the block level and the article level, you can see when things are grouped together, and that creates this much easier structure.
Okay, I see that. That makes sense. I'm thinking about people who would, and you recognize this and mention this, people who would say, well, that can also make your courses boring.
Yeah, no, I agree. I did kind of realize, I was like, some of this stuff could be considered downsides, but.
Yeah, but from a structural standpoint, though, it makes sense to have a common structure that everybody understands, and then to, as you said, make the content what varies.
Yeah.
Use the plugins or use whatever media to sort of make that interactive and interesting, but still keep the structure.
Yeah, of course. And there's an extension called the Block Slider, which it kind of makes it slide horizontally, like a traditional e-learning authoring tool, rather than vertically. And again, it doesn't like change the interface, but it remains in the same idea, but anyone looking at it can understand what's happening straight away. And it's just makes it easier to use, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, just wonderful, wonderful points. One last question sort of for me. I recommend Adapt to some people, particularly when they're starting out or they're trying to sort of just spin something up very quickly without having to invest in more expensive e-learning tools. I'm wondering, when you guys sort of serve up an Adapt course, is it just like, here's the course, or is there some sort of connection to an LMS? Do people have to go to an LMS first, or do they just sort of get to the course and the whole course is full screen? What does it look like when you serve it up to a person?
Our team, we sell it, we're different for LMS. We don't use SCORM, even though the SCORM support in Adapt is really, really good.
Okay.
I mean, it's just because we don't see any value in it, and Our LMS is Moodle, and it doesn't play responsive SCORM content very well. And I think this is something that's being fixed in Moodle, but it's just not something we've seen value in, I guess. So yeah, it's all done through LMS. But again, it could be hosted. It could be hosted anywhere, obviously.
Yeah. How do you guys track then if you're not using SCORM? What are you using to track things, or are you tracking things?
We're not tracking at all. I mean, we have Google Analytics. We have other tracking, but we don't really use that for completion. We just use that for, you know, tracking devices and tracking which country the letter's coming from. I think the rationale is they have assessments they do weekly anyway, which are done outside of the content. I think it's done directly through the LMS or some other way. So I guess it's up to the student to make sure that they learn themselves. But the thing with Adapt is you can use the different plugins in different variety of ways to kind of make sure that whatever your target audience is and whatever your workflow is, it kind of evolves around that.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm definitely a big, big fan. So it's wonderful to hear about how it's actually working out in a real place.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like side projects. So that this is
great. Of course. I mean, I saw your podcast that you did about the bike shop, and I thought it was a really cool course, but obviously it's quite...
Oh, thanks.
I imagine it's pretty hard to imagine how it's used compared to that. And like I said, I think what we're doing is pretty cool. I don't think there's any team that has anything on the scale that we do. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. All right. So Simon, we are wrapping up, and I wanted to know if you could give us sort of a sneak peek or a segue into what we're going to talk about next time.
Yeah. How working in open source project and how non-technical people can contribute. So...
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool subject. And I appreciate not everyone is kind of on the open source hype train. And like I said, there are trade-offs, but I think just the idea of a community, and like, I personally wouldn't want to work, you know, with a software tool where I couldn't know that I had peers who were in a similar situation to me that, you know, I could share with and learn from. Mm-hmm. I think I've learned so much from working with the Adapt team, you know, across companies. Lots of people have taught me loads of stuff, and it's been really great experience. And I'd encourage anyone else to try and join something like that themselves.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So next time we'll be talking a little bit about the open source experience and how we can use that to sort of learn and grow. And that's awesome. Last but not least, Simon, do you have any shout outs, any links, anything for us at the end of the show?
Nothing that I didn't say last time. Just follow me on Twitter. And yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Cheers. Thank you.